Colossians chapter 1. This is just a great, great book, isn't it, Colossians? Just wonderful. Read with me verses 21 through 23. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you, that were sometime or one time alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, and me too, and this Paul, a minister of the gospel. If you continue, he said, if you continue. I know we've already looked at this, but we need, you read with me Hebrews, how many times, if. And she keeps telling us, if you continue, if you hold fast. We look Sunday that if we hold fast, we'll know it's because he holds up. Nevertheless, it says, if you continue. This is an exhortation. It's a warning not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, because there is no hope anywhere else. So this is a warning to us, and it's an exhortation to hold fast. Lay hold of this hope, which is a person, and don't let go for anything or anyone. Don't do it. And Hebrews, when's the last time you've read Hebrews? If you read any of it, just start in chapter 11 and read that hall of faith. Every one of them lived in this world amidst the trials and troubles and tribulations and great fears and all of that. And every one of them died from something. Some of them died violent deaths. But it says, now here's where, this is what matters. They died in the faith. I want to die in the faith. Don't you? It's not how you start. It's how you die. If you die in the faith, it means you live by faith. It means Christ is in you. Now, we're not saved by our faith. Christ saved us. Right? Faith just believes that. Believes Him. We're not saved by remaining faithful. That's not what saves us. We're saved by His faithfulness. If we remain faithful, it's because He faithfully kept us. But if we truly believe, if we trust Him, we know Him and trust Him, that means you're known of Him and you will abide in Him. At one time, there were many disciples that walked no more with Christ. You remember that? John chapter 6. Many turned around and left. The Son of God. And He turned to His disciples and He said, will you also go up? And Simon Peter said, on behalf of all of us, can you say this from the heart? To whom? Who would we leave you for? What would we leave you for? Simon Peter said, thou hast the words of life. This is life. You're our life. Christ was their life. Now, if you have this life, you can't leave. Really, if Christ is our life, and what that means is what we're doing right now. We're worshiping Christ. We're where He said to be, aren't we? Where two or three are gathered, there am I. If Christ is our life, the hearing of His word, He said, my sheep hear my voice. So I come here, I want to hear His voice, don't you? And tell me, is it not so that you hear His voice more with the fold, with the flock in the fold, than you do at home alone. It's a fact. I do. The hearing of His voice, we're His sheep. If the worship of our Lord, if you have a need to meet with Him, to call upon Him, to sing to Him and of Him, you have life. I'm going to save Christ in you, the hope of glory, for Sunday. We're going to look. I'm already telling you what it means. I'm already telling you. But this is your hope of glory. This means you're going to glory. That means you've already been glory in you. Christ is in you. If He's your life, the worship of Christ is your life. We read Psalm 63 Sunday. Remember that? Wasn't that a good psalm? David said, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." That's what he said. Better than life. He said, "I found your word and I found it more sweeter than honey. Sweeter than a honeycomb." He said, "There's nothing I'd rather eat on than your word." He said, "Your word to me was like fine gold, better than gold and silver." He said, David said in another place, "I rejoice more in Him more than they rejoice in the time when their corn and their wine is increased, when their barns are full of stuff." He said, "My heart gets full." And that's life. You have life. You have Christ in you. But that's Sunday's message. Not make it to Sunday. But. So the fact is, if we have faith, we have life. We have Christ. We have a union. This is a union. A union. Like a husband and a wife. Like a father and his child. What is the faith? It says here in verse 23. If you continue in the faith. What is the faith? Well, three things, basically. And these three are one. But three things. Faith is belief. Faith is trust in God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God said, "Seek my faith." David said, "I'll seek your faith." Did he find it? He sure did. His faith is to believe in God. To believe He is God. Now, buddy, this will ground you and settle you. This will ground you and settle you. If you don't believe God is sovereign, if you don't believe God is God, you'll be unsettled, upset. Everything you hear and see is going to upset you. Woo! God is God. Over what? Everything. Settle down. Just settle down. Be still. How many times do you have to say that? Be still and know that I am God. I do all these things. All these things. And for His people, all things work together for good. That's our God. Settle down. Don't go anywhere. Don't need to go anywhere. Do you? Got it all right here. God's God. If you really believe, if you really trust that God is God, you will be grounded and settled. Those three Hebrews, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they threatened them under threat of, they were unmoved, they were unfazed by a government mandate. They were unfazed by threats, by fear of death. They were unfazed. And their answer was, "Our God is God. If we go in that fire, He's the one that's going to put us there. If we go in that fire and die, it's over. All our troubles are over. Either way, He's going to deliver us. Because God is God." And they just settled. Go ahead. Do what you will. Because God is God. All right, faith is to believe God. Not just that He is God, but to believe what He says. It's to believe God, His Word, His truth. We looked Sunday, I believe it was. He can't lie. Why not believe somebody that cannot lie? David said, here's what David said. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. I hate everything. I don't believe anything is contrary to thy precepts. Paul said that. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. David said the same. I said in my haste that all men are liars. He looked around and he had a hard time finding somebody that wasn't lying for their own evil purposes. But he said, I said it in my haste because Nathan wasn't a liar. He could go and hear Nathan preach. He wasn't a liar. And others, Jonathan. Peter said, here's what Peter said when they threatened him to quit preaching. He said, whether it be right in the sight of God, because God's listening and watching, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than God, more than unto God, you judge. You judge. You be the judge. All right. He said, but we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. We can't help but do what we know. Believe Him and do what He said. Can't help it. We've heard Him. We've heard His voice. We've seen His power. We've seen His great mercy and His grace. So faith is to believe in God, that He is God. It's to believe God. Believe what He says. Believe what He said. And thirdly, to believe on the Son of God. To believe Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Believe on the Son. On the Son. Not just in Him, but on Him. Cast all your soul, your sins, your everything on the head of the sacrifice. To believe on the Son of God. Trust Him. You know, the sting of death is sin. Part of the reason of everybody's fear of death is because they've got this nagging conscience due to sin. That's right. And even us as believers, we think, my sins, surely He's not going to let me into heaven when it's over because I'm such a sinner. Believe on the Son of God. Believe on Christ. That's what He came for. He gave a dying word of promise to a useless, worthless, no good thief and a murderer. The worst scum of the earth. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. What did that man do? Nothing. Believed. You're with me. You're coming in, King. Believe. Trust. My. So look at our text. It says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now this means, number one, literally it means don't move where no gospel is. Do not remove yourself from the hearing or preaching of the gospel. You take away your own hope. There is no hope except in this gospel. There's no hope in the world. There's no hope for this world. There's no hope for this world. And I say to our young people, and I'm not trying to scare them or anything, but this is so. If this is why knowing Christ is life. If you know Him, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. It's all going to be good. But there is no hope for this world. Our Lord's going to destroy this world. There's only hope in God. There's a verse that says, he that blesseth himself in the earth blesseth himself in the God of truth. You're going to be blessed. Job lost everything in this earth. Everyone on this earth, didn't he? But he was a blessed man. Why? He didn't lose his hope. He didn't lose his salvation. He didn't lose his trust in God. There's only hope in God. There's only hope in Christ, in the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? Look at Titus. One verse will suffice. Titus chapter 1. Go over there. Titus. Little book of Titus. Right after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 1. This one verse will suffice, but we'll look at several. Titus chapter 1. Look at this. This is wonderful. The hope of the gospel. The good news that gives hope. It's this, look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So that is going to make us like Christ. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. Preaching, preaching. It sounds just like Colossians does. It sounds just like Ephesians. Because it is. He always preaches and writes the same thing. But this hope is of eternal life. See that? Life. Eternal life with God. Not just going to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Somebody said, who was it? Just said, Kelly. Said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Meaning, they want to stay here in their little carnal utopia and have fun and all that they enjoy. But, and then if they have to die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But that's not eternal life. It's not wanting to go to a pie in the sky to sweep by and meet mama in a little cabin in glory. It's to be with God. To be with Christ. He is our life. Eternal life with him. It's like a marriage. When you marry someone, it's supposed to be for life. Then. The more you love them, you don't want to leave them. Do you? You can be married 72 years and not ready to lose them. Don't want to leave them. Right? Well, that's Christ and his bride. And he said, I'll never leave you. And one of these days, you'll never have to leave me. How's that sound? Well, if you love Christ, it's wonderful. He is our life, you see. Not a place. Heaven's a person. It's eternal life. Eternal life with Christ, with each other. You love each other now? We're going to love perfectly then. None of us will be strange. None of us will be strange. Like John. We'll all be the same. Exactly the same. No sinful characteristics. No, we'll all be just like Jesus Christ. No anger, no wrath, no jealousy, no envy, no pity, no self-pity, no, you know. Oh, man. We'll be with each other. If you enjoy being with God's people, oh, my. It's an eternity. Do you enjoy doing this? We enjoy seeing these. There's so much, the flesh interferes, doesn't it? And the fowl of the air, you know, come and steal it away. And the thorns choke it out and all that. So there's not going to be any of that someday. And we're going to be able to sing at the top of our lung in perfect key. Look at chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. Here's eternal life. Verse 4. Oh my, don't you love this? After the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, justified from all things, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. Look at, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. As I said, there's no hope in this world. But why is that? Why is there no hope in this world? Because it's dying. That's why. It's a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship. The old saying is, don't polish brass on the sinking ship.
story of the Titanic. You know, it's interesting that there are two great ships that everybody knows about. Ark of Noah and the Titanic. Well, they said of the Titanic, it cannot sink. And I'm sure they said of the Ark of Noah, it cannot float. On the Titanic, there was a who's who in the world. The rich, the famous. I think the architect of that ship was on there. I don't think the owner was. He didn't quite have that much faith in it. But anyway, they were who's who. And you know, when they told those passengers, high and mighty and all that, they were sitting around their tables eating their caviar and champagne and all that. They told them that the ship is going down. They didn't believe it. The story has it that this band kept playing and they kept eating and drinking and carrying on like it wasn't going down. The ship was going down. The ship was going down. And everybody stayed in that ship perished. Now, this other ship, the Ark, everybody stayed in that ship. Lived. Which ship are you in? This world is like the Titanic. It's going down. The Lord told us. He keeps telling us. It's going down. It's perishing. It's perishing. All these things shall be dissolved. Jump ship. Get out. No hope in this world. Because it's dying. There's no hope in religion. There's no hope in religion. Why? They speak of the world. They speak things of the world. The church is talking about another world. There's no hope in the law. There's no hope in the law. It's all against us. So many religions that would have you hope in keeping the law. That's a false hope. No hope in the law. No hope in dead works. A lot of people take hope in what they're doing, you know, for the Lord. That's hopeless. There's no hope for a bright future in this world. You look to this world, like Isaiah 8 says, there's darkness and dimness and anguish of spirit. But now, let me talk some about a good hope. There's a bright future, a bright and glorious day that shineth. Hope of eternal life and joy unspeakable, full of glory. Romans 8, I said, told you to turn there, didn't I? Look at Romans 8, verse 18. Now he said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The glory. The glory. We're going to look at that. Glorious hope. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, the earnest expectation of the creature. Creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. What a day that'll be, won't it? Look down at verse 22. We know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only the creation, but ourselves also are born again of the fruit of the Spirit. Even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Paul said, Romans 7, 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? The body of this death. So he says in verse 24, we're saved by hope. See, hope of eternal life. Hope of a sinless body. Hope. Hope that's seen is not hope. What a man seeth, he doesn't have to hope for. But verse 25, we hope for that we see not, and we with patience wait for. Not it. That's in italics. Him. Him. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Look at, look at 2 Corinthians 4 over there. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at this hope. We're saved by this hope of eternal life, hope in Christ. And we wait on Him. 2 Corinthians 4. You see the gospel, the light of the knowledge of God. That's the gospel. Verse 6. In the person and work of Christ has shined in our hearts. It's a glorious hope. We have a treasure, verse 7, an earthen vessel. Verse 8, now we're troubled. on every side, but we're not in distress. No. We're perplexed. We don't have full understanding of why this, why that, but we're not in despair. We're grounded, we're settled. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down. We get cast down, don't we? David, I love Psalm 42, don't you? Oh, he so said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God." And he admitted to God, he said, "Lord, I am cast down." He said, "I'll hope in Him, God." In verse 10, he says, "We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, crucified with Him, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body." Verse 16, go down there. "For which cause we faint not." I'm not going to quit. "Our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day." Our light affliction, it's but for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why we look, as long as we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. Things that are not seen are eternal. Keep reading. "We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, made a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And this is what we groan for, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven." And down in verse 7, he says that we walk by faith, you see, not by sight. We're confident, I say willing, rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You believe that? It's hope. Hope, you see. It's our hope. A couple of ladies have a very good name. Hope. And you have an even better hope in Christ. Better name is the daughter of Abraham, child of God. So, go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. He says, in verse, "So we have this hope of the gospel, which you heard." You wouldn't have heard it, you wouldn't have it, if it wasn't preached to you. So we have this blessed hope, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In verse 24, look at this. "And I now rejoice in my sufferings for you." Did you read that? Have you read what Paul suffered? When's the last time you read what he went through? Whipped
5 times, 49 stripes. Most people didn't live through one whipping. He was whipped 5 times. Beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, on a peril, peril, peril.
He said, I rejoice. I rejoice in my suffering. Now he's in prison. It wasn't a halfway house that served, you know, fine food and TVs and prison. He's about to get his head cut off. He says the light affliction. We just read that, didn't we? He said, I rejoice. I think there's a couple of reasons. I know there's a couple of reasons. He said, I rejoice in my suffering. It's a light affliction. He was in prison. You know, Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I was injurious. I persecuted the church. Paul was in prison and he never lost sight of the fact that he put people in prison for believing the gospel. He went and got women and men and children and put them in prison for believing the gospel. Kelly, he never got over that. He said, I deserve to be in prison. And he was thankful. Well, God put me where I belong. But I'm not getting what I deserve. He hasn't dealt with me according to my sin. But now I know what it's like to be in prison. Now I know. Now I can enter into the fellowship and sufferings of my brethren whom I put in prison. He was persecuted because he persecuted. He was injured because he was injurious, right? And Paul knew this. He knew that all that happened, that while he did deserve it, it was a lot less than he did deserve. When he said our light afflictions, that means they're light compared to what we deserve from God. Why should a living man complain for the punishment of his sin? But God has not punished us, really punished us for our sin. He punished Christ. Keep that in mind and you'll go through anything and not complain about it. It's the only thing that will keep us from complaining. Realize that Jesus Christ took our whipping. So Paul was in prison. He thought, whip me. They whipped my Lord. Whip me. I deserve it. He didn't deserve it. He knew it was less than he deserved. He knew it was for his good, his humility. He was up on a high horse. He used to think he was somebody. Oh, the Lord brought him down off that high horse and humbled him greatly. And he was thankful. For a broken and a contrite heart, he was thankful. And for God's glory, he knew this was going to be for God's glory. And he said, I dishonored God. I blasphemed God. Now I've got an opportunity to glorify God. And I'm going to do it with every word I write. With everything I do, I rejoice myself. And he said, it's for you. He said, I know this is for the furtherance of the gospel. I know I'm in prison for the furtherance of the gospel. The good of others. Look at verse 24. I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. What he's saying, and let me read this to you. What he's saying is that now I know how to comfort those who need comfort. Like he said, I put people in prison, now I'm in prison. Now I know what it's like to be in prison. And to suffer for the truth's sake, that all who believe will. And he said this, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, he comforts me in all my tribulations, that I might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He didn't used to have any trouble in religion. He didn't have any trouble in the world. He was thankful God took him out of that and put him in trouble. He's thankful for trouble, knowing, like Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, to you that are in trouble. This is for you that are in trouble. Rest with us. God's people have trouble in this world. The world doesn't have trouble with the world. God's people do. Why? They're not of the world. Christ came in the world. The world was made by him and knew him not. And the world wanted him out. And so it is with God's people. So you're going to have trouble in the world. Paul was thankful for trouble. If you don't have any trouble with this world, you're in trouble. So he said, the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation. He said, if we be afflicted, I'm reading 2 Corinthians 1. If we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and your salvation. It's effectual and enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. If we be comforted, we comfort you. Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing you're partaker of the suffering and I'm partaker of the suffering. You understand? Let me try to illustrate this in closing. See, we're saved by Christ suffering for us. We're not saved by suffering for him. No. We're saved by Christ suffering for us. But we're saved by seeing his suffering for us, which makes us, breaks us, makes us humble, makes us grateful, thankful, trusted. And we're also comforted and encouraged and made stronger by seeing the sufferings of our brethren for the cause of Christ. That's Hebrews 11. The whole chapter is about the sufferings of God's people, what all they went through, not accepting deliverance. Stones sawn asunder, thrown into the lions and the fire and all that. They would not accept deliverance. Don't you love the story of the three Hebrews? Don't you love that? You want to hear it again? I just told it. I'll tell it to you again. Why do you love that? Because it encourages you. Now, all of God's people go through some kind of fiery trial, don't they? All of them. All through the fire and all through the blood. But we're encouraged when we see our brethren go through it and they say, it's okay. I've watched several believers die. I've heard their dying testimony. And it encourages me. It removes the fear of death from that. We see our brethren suffer and endure and keep coming. Abide faithful, we're made stronger. I've told you about my sister dying of cancer. She was in every service until she was bedfast, until she couldn't get out of bed. And she said, life's not worth living if you can't worship. Go worship the Lord. That's what David said. It's better than life. My old dad. I'm thankful we never put handicap access in before while he was here. You know why?
Because he would have crawled up those steps to get in that pew if he had to.
Was that not a blessing to you? He got to the point where he couldn't put one foot in front of the other. But Stephen, he got up and stepped in. I guarantee you he knew how many steps there were. Because it was a burden. But he said, I have to. He preached the gospel for all those years. And then he sat and heard the gospel for 10 years and wouldn't miss it for nothing. For nobody. We'd go over there and he'd be waiting on the porch. It'd be 20 degrees in January. He'd be sitting on the porch with his Bible. With his little sweater on. Where you been? What kept you? Waiting on us. Waiting to come worship. Why? Because Christ is his life. And I witness faith like that. And I say, I want to die like that. You know, the Henry Sword sat right in that pew all those years. Did, right there. He sat right there. Till the Lord took him. Right there sits another one. Right there sits another one. Your dad is right there till the Lord put him down, didn't he? Till he couldn't come again. That strengthens me. Let me die like that. All right? So Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings. They're for you. He went through anything and everything, the worst. See? God's grace is sufficient. See? I'm ready to die, ready to depart. Are you, Paul? Yeah. I have a good hope, he said, in a person. So, in everything give thanks. In everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And those of you who hope in Christ, if you have hope in Christ, oh, you've got a good hope. A hope of eternal life. Glorious hope. Oh, it's just that. And that's all I can say about that. Stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for your blessed word, blessed hope, the blood of our Lord, the gospel of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of eternal life. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until you do, save, Lord. Save us, save our children, save others. We want them to be in the ark with us. We want them to be in Christ, be found in Him until that day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.